Okay, well, good evening, everyone.
晚上好，弟兄姊妹。
It's good to see you. I hope you don't mind my speaking English and letting Stephen translate.
我想大家不会介意我说英文，然后由Stephen来翻译成中文。
You have to call yourself Stephen.
对，我要叫称我自己叫Stephen.
Whenever I speak. So my goal tonight is twofold.
我今天有两个目标。
The first is to give you an overview of the American education system structure.
所以我首先会带大家就总览一下美国教育系统的一个结构。
As well as the general American approach to education culturally.
然后我会从文化角度来看美国人是怎么看待教育问题的。
And then, at the end, I want to also consider with you education generally from a Christian perspective.
然后最后我们会看,作为一个基督徒,我们应该怎么样去对待教育。
Now, obviously, this is a very big topic.
那当然,这是个很大的话题。
So there's no way we can cover it all in one evening.
当然,我们不可能讲得面面俱到一个晚上的时间。
But I hope to leave some time at the end for questions so that we can talk about any questions you may
have.
So, the first, if you, everybody has a sheet? Great. So the first thing we'll look at together is the American education system structure.
I can scroll, okay, perfect.
So, starting at the earliest grades, essentially, every child who's age 3 to 5 goes through what's called nursery schools into kindergarten. And specifically, this is the public education system. The next level up from there is the elementary level. But from there, different states actually handle their schooling differently.
但是从小学开始,不同的州,那么在处理小学系统就开始用不同的方式了。
Which is something I'll talk about more, but in the United States, each state, and in fact, each locality, is responsible for their education.
那事实上在美国每一个州,或者说每一个甚至每一个地区,他们都要为自己的教育负责。
Which explains why some of the structure changes.
所以当然每个地方的结构有略有区别。However,
most commonly, you have from grade 1 through 5 is called elementary school.
那通常呢,1年级到5年级被称作小学。
Then grades 6 through 8 is called middle school.
那6到8年级初中,
also called junior high schools.
就是初中。
Yeah, in English it's two different words for the same thing. And then from 9th to 12th grade is called high school.
9到12年级是高中。
So you're probably pretty familiar with that structure. And then once students graduate from high school,
那么学生一旦从高中毕业呢,
they typically have 2 to 3 options. One is they can go straight into the workforce. But others choose to go to local community colleges. Where often you can get a 2 or 3 year degree.
你会有个2到3年的学习拿到个学位。
And typically those degrees are focused on a skill or a trade that you can apply at a higher level in the workforce.
通常就是职业技术的训练啊。
But the most common education path for American students is going on to a 4 year college.
那么当然最普遍的就是上4年制的大学。
And in America, unlike in other places, you can choose which college you want to go to anywhere in the country.
当然在美国和其他地方不一样的是,如果是美国人的话,你可以选择在美国任何地方上大学。
And all you have to do is apply to those schools and see if they accept you.
你所要做的就是申请,然后看你学校给不给你发offer。
I will talk about what they're looking for, why they would be willing to accept a student.
我会去谈他们要看重什么,他们为什么要接受一个学生。
But I'll wait to do that when we get to the cultural aspect.
当然我们要等到下部分去谈文化的部分的时候。
So after, when a student's in college during that 4 year period,
当学生在这4年大学期间,
they choose a major.
他们要选择一个专业。
And that major can change.
当然这个专业可以换的。
For example, I changed my major 3 times.
然后我就换了3次专业。
I started in computer science.
我首先是学计算机科学。
Then I was considering doing something else.
然后我就想我要换一个。
Then I finally landed in Chinese and political science.
然后我就学了中文和政治科学。
So that's my path.
这个就我的途径。
Many American students are this way.
好吧，很多美国学生都这样。
What I mean by that is most American students do not know what they want to do until they finish college.
学到这样的美国学生，在他们毕业之前，他们不知道他们要干什么。
They think they know what they want to
do,
but they're wrong. So after they finish a four-year degree called a bachelor's degree, then they typically go into the workforce. In America, at most workplaces in the professional world, it's expected that you have a bachelor's degree. However, in some fields, it's incumbent to have more education.
当然在其他的一些领域, 他们会期待你有更高等的教育。
For some degrees or for some professions, you go on to get what's called a master's degree.
那有一些专业它需要你有硕士学位。
And of course, many of you are familiar, some go on to get a PhD or a doctorate. Of course, if you're going to medical school, you go to medical school at that point.
你就是在那个时候你就去医学院了。
Master's degrees are typically 2 to 3 years.
那硕士学历通常是2到3年才能修完。
And PhD programs can vary in length depending on the field.
那么博士的这个长度是有波动，不一定的。
So many students will first get a master's in a field.
通常呢，学生会先在某一个领域拿一个硕士学位。
And then they will choose whether or not they want to pursue more education in a PhD.
然后他们再会去想，如果我读博士，我要在哪个领域去学习。
If students want to stay in academia, then they would go on to doing postdoctoral studies or research.
如果学生想留在学术界的话，通常他们还要读一个博士后。
So that's a very, very quick survey of the American education structure.
但是简单梳理一下美国教育系统的结构。
So any questions about that so far?
那到目前为止还有没有什么问题?
It's probably very similar to what you're familiar with.
我想这一点大家还是比较熟悉的。
What's very different, though, is how Americans think about this process.
就是美国人怎么去思想这个一路升学的过程。
So that's where I hope to highlight how American culture informs how we approach education.
我这边要讲到美国文化如何来告诉我们，引导我们如何去看待教育的。
Now, I have to be careful. There are many, many different views, but I am summarizing, and so know that you could probably find an exception.
那我会总结出不同的观点。
But on the whole, I think these are true statements.
但总的来说，我讲的都是正确的。
Other Americans in the room can correct me if they think I'm wrong.
那如果我们在场的美国人，你觉得我讲的不对的话，你可以随时纠正。
Firstly, how people define success informs their education. So success in the United States is earned and measured by merit and achievement.
那通常人们是通过你的成就，通过你的业绩来评价你是否成功的。
As a result, success is earned through hard work.
所以你的成功是通过你不断努力挣来的。
However, academic achievement is not the only valuable component in education.
但是我们知道学术上的成就不是这个唯一有价值的部分呢。Instead,
universities and scholarships prefer what's called well-rounded students.
如果你要得到学校的青睐，甚至拿到奖学金，你需要全面发展。
That just means that they have an aptitude in a variety of areas.
他们会全面的评估你。
So when a university is receiving an application from a student to consider,
那学校会收到学生的申请，然后进行评估。
Your test scores are just one of many components.
你的考试成绩只是他们考量的所有因素当中的一部分。
Now that's not to say they're not important.
不是说你考试成绩不重要。
I wouldn't want my young friend here to think he doesn't need to do well in school.
我不希望这个年轻人觉得好像我在学校不用好好学了。
But it's not the only thing that American universities look for, so I want you to be aware.
但是考试成绩的确不是他唯一的看的那个标准。
Because Americans value hard work and also service, community service is often very highly prized.
那在美国呢，你在社区进行服务，义务的服务也是非常重要的。
American universities are also impressed by having people skills or leadership abilities.
你如果有人际交往的能力和领导力的话，美国学校也很看重。
You can also be rewarded by having sports or extracurricular activities.
你如果有课外的这些活动，特别是你的体育很棒的话，那么也是会给你加分的。
They essentially want to see that your student is able to succeed in a variety of areas.
他们希望看到这个学生啊，在很多不同的方面都很优秀。
So of course, intellect and academic achievement is important.
所以当然你的智力、你的考试很重要。
But many Americans will spend a lot of time and money investing in many of these other areas.
当然美国人也会花很多的时间和金钱在不同的方面去培养这些小孩子。
I'll give you an example from my own life.
我用我自己做例子。
I also enjoyed studying and did well in school.
我很喜欢学习，我成绩不错的。
Of course, I also put a lot of thought and effort into my test scores and practiced them.
我很认真做作业，然后考试成绩也不错。
But I also did a lot of community service through my high school back home.
那我也做了很多的社区工作。
For example, I would tutor people.
我会这个就是类似家教的工作。
I would help out.In the community, picking up trash and other needs.
我也捡垃圾啊，或者看这个，没犯错吧？
没犯错。
或者做其他服务。
收垃圾。
收垃圾。
收垃圾。I also would just help out around my school when teachers had needs.
当然，我老师有需要的时候，我也会帮忙。
As a result, I was able to earn their respect.
结果呢，我就是可以赢得一些尊重。
So when I was looking for a recommendation,
所以我需要写，比方说推荐信。
Or when I was wanting to show my desire to serve and to bless others,
当我去告诉别人我有这个意愿去服务人的时候
，I was able to point to a record to show them.
我可以告诉他，哎，我这是我做的这些事情都有记录的。
So when I applied to go to UNC Chapel Hill.
我特地穿了，不是特地，就是所以我就去了这个学校。
I did not have a lot of money, so I knew I needed scholarships.
那我也没有太多的这个钱呢，所以我需要申请奖学金。
Most of my scholarships were not academic scholarships.
那绝大部分我的奖学金其实不是学术方面的奖学金。
Most of my scholarships were for my community service.
很多我的奖学金其实是恰恰是从我的这个社区服务而来的。
For example, the Toyota Foundation has a scholarship for students.
这个丰田它有一个基金是提供给学生的。
They prize academics.
他们当然会考虑你的学术。
But what they really valued was community service.
但他们更在乎的是你的社区服务。
So I won a $10,000 scholarship from Toyota for that community service.
所以我得到$10,000的奖学金，因为我的社区服务。
That's just one example.
这只是一个例子。
And that's why I wanted to highlight it, because when they're looking at a student, they want to know what makes that student unique.
所以你要知道，当学校看一个学生的时候，他要知道这学生他特别之处在哪里。
Many people have good academic records.
很多学生特别好学校的，他们的成绩都很好。
So you want to be thinking, how can I show that my child, or how can you as a student, show that you are different from other students?
所以你要想的是，你的小孩子他不跟别人都很优秀的情况下，他独特之处在哪里
？Which leads to another aspect of American culture, which is competition.
所以这就讲到美国文化的一个方面，就是竞争。
Another way to put it is Americans, even in the university setting, are concerned with what you've done.
所以美国人会想你做了什么
？Not merely with what you know.
不单单只是你知道了什么。
For example, someone may have a degree in a field.
所以比方说某一个人他可能在某一个领域他有个学位了。
But they may not get a job in favor of somebody who has experience.
但是你可能因为你缺乏工作经验，那你就得不到这份工作。工作会给那份有经验的人。
So because we value hard work and differentiation, that factors very heavily into our definition of success.
所以知道我们的付出的努力还有我们与人的不同，这都是很重要的因素。
At least I should say success from a worldly perspective.
当然我说的这个是从一个世人的一个世界的一个角度去评判的，什么叫美国学校看重的东西。
Another interesting feature culturally of the American education system.
那另外一个美国教育的特点呢
？Is How students interact with their teachers as well.
就是学生怎么跟老师互动的。
I know in other cultures, especially in China,
我知道特别是在中国。
The teacher is the one who is respected and in charge in the classroom.
那老师当然在教室里面是最受尊重的，然后他要统管一切。
In America, it's exactly the opposite.
在美国是反的。
What I mean by that is,
我的意思是
the individual student is what's most highly prized.
那个学生是非常被看重的。
And the teacher exists to serve the student.
老师是服侍学生的。
Because another aspect of American culture is individuality.
因为美国很看重一个就是个人主义的东西，个人。
The, The most important concern that a parent has is how is my child doing?
就是我们可能更加关注是我的小孩做得怎么样啊？
So the teacher is mindful of that.
所以我my teacher 什么？
The teacher is aware of that reality.
老师是知道这种情况。
And so teachers, yes, they should be respected.
老师当然需要被尊重。
But often, if a child is not doing well in a class,
当学生做得不好的时候呢？
Many parents,
很多老师
will question the teacher.
会质问老师的
not question their student.
而不是去质问自己的小朋友
I don't think this is always right.
我当然不觉得这个总是对的
But I think on the whole this is true.
那总的来说这美国是这样的情况
American friends, would you agree? Yeah, Tim is nodding.
Agree.
Okay. So as a result of this cultural dynamic,
那结果就是呢这种文化氛围呢结果就是
actually expected that students question and challenge teachers in the classroom.
所以他们期盼的是学生可以提问，可以去挑战老师。
Of course, it should be done respectfully.
当然，你得以一个尊重老师的方式。
But a student who raises their hand, asks questions, and challenges a teacher is okay in the American classroom.
所以在学生在学校，学生是被鼓励，你要举手，你要发言，你要挑战老师。
Because in the American education system, the point is to try to form the individual.
因为美国很看重你要塑造这个个人的。
As a result, they want that individual to be able to express themselves.
当然，所谓塑造个人的情况，就个人可以表达自己。
Which is why you see in many American classrooms public speaking and leadership. They want those students to be trained to know how to express themselves.
美国很看重学生的公共的演讲的。
They want them to know how to express themselves creatively and also with persuasive skill.
你既要有创意，你要讲的话又要能说服人，我们很看重你的领导力。
So teachers welcome it.
老师很欢迎这个东西。
It's not disrespectful to question your teacher.
你质疑你的老师不代表你是不尊重他。
With respect.
你要以尊重的态度。
I want to encourage my friend to be respectful again. You know. I'm just picking on him. Sorry. So as a result of this, parents are often seen as the final authority over their child's education, not the teacher.
所以通常呢，在美国其实是父母被认为是我在这个小孩身上有最高的权柄，而不是我的老师。
In fact, this is reflected in how our education system is run.
那事实上这一点也被反映在美国系统的运作当中。
I'll talk about some other features about this, but here I just want to highlight.School boards that run local education are elected by the citizens of that county.
那学校的是不是叫学校委员会？我应该这么翻吧。公立学校委员会 school board， 那是由这个县当地的这个公民去选的。
School boards can also be challenged by parents, and parents can vocalize concerns.
那这个学校委员会可以被这个家长去挑战，那家长也可以去用声音去表达出你的这个顾虑在哪里。
School board meetings are public, and you can go to the school board and question the school board as to what they're teaching children.
那么学校委员会的会议是公开的，你可以参与这个会议，然后在会议上提出你的顾虑和并且质疑这些委员。
This topic has happened a lot recently in the American education system with things like transgenderism and homosexuality in the classroom.
那么最近呢，因为美国我们知道变性的事情越来越多，然后同性恋的问题，所以最近是在这个美国，比方说公立学校的委员会上，这些问题被讨论的非常多。
Many Americans are showing up to school board meetings to challenge the school boards.
很多父母家长就是出席会议，然后去挑战这些委员。
To get them to change their policy.
希望他们去改变他们的政策。
And some of these school boards have responded.
那么有一些这些学校的委员会的确是反映了。
And have taken it out of the curriculum.
然后把这些意识形态过浓的东西就从这个教材当中拿掉，课程当中拿掉。
So all of this to say, parents are welcome and expected to contribute to the education process in the United States.
所以在美国，父母有很大的权利去参与到这个学校的教育当中去。
So it's definitely a responsibility to be considered.
所以这是你的责任。
But schools stress, as a result, individualism and individual flourishing, not the flourishing of the group. So often you get different groups who disagree.
当然，美国是看重的是个人，而不是某一个群体。可能你会在美国看到不同的群体之中，其实大家互相是不赞同的，不认同的。
Which means sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
这意味着你有的时候会赢，你有的时候会输。
And in this way, it very much reflects our political system as well.
这就当然，美国的政治体系也是如此反映出来的。
Just like we can speak against our president, or we can vote for our elected officials, it funnels down very similarly in our education system.
就像你也可以去挑战反对你的总统，你也可以选择美国的官员。
Any questions so far?
那到目前为止有没有什么问题？
Or any cult, especially about the cultural aspects?
So the school board, you mean public school board?
Public
school board. Public school board.
Yeah, public school board. I'll get to types here in a minute.
Yeah.
Any questions? Okay. Let's keep going.
我们继续。
So what about curriculum? How do Americans think through what to teach their children?
那课程怎么样呢？美国人怎么去想？我应该怎么样去教这些学生？
Well, as I mentioned earlier, each state and locality implements their own curriculum.
那其实每一个州甚至当地的学校，它都有权去制定自己的课。
And this is to incentivize competition.
这也为了去鼓励竞争。
So there are efforts, though, to standardize education.
当然有一些去标准化的这些过程序了。
And even between states, there are mutually agreed upon standards that basically are implemented everywhere.
那当然，不同的州之间，他们有可能有共同认同的一个标准。
However, each state does have some flexibility in how they implement that education.
当然，至于具体怎么去操作、怎么去教育的话，每个州有相当大的自由度。
For example, in California,
they
teach very different information as it relates to transgenderism and homosexuality.
他们在教导变性啊、同性方面啊，当然是他们有他们的课程。
Whereas in a state like Florida, the governor, they passed a law and the governor approved the law.Saying that you're not allowed to teach that to elementary school children.
那么在佛州，那佛州的这个他的州长就签署法令，就是说在小学的时候你不允许教导这方面的内容。
The same thing is true here in North Carolina, where each locality also implements its own policies in terms of what's allowed to be discussed in the classroom.
那么在北卡其实也是不同的地方，它都有具体的政策去讲到说你在这个课堂上可以讨论什么东西，什么东西是不能讨论的。
Which leads to a very important point of awareness for you, and that is that you have to be asking what's being taught because it's different in every school and every county in North Carolina.
对，你自己要去问你的学校、你的这个县，他们教导的是什么。
Schools in Durham may have different policies as it relates to certain types of information being communicated in the classroom.
比方说这个 Durham 县，它有自己的政策。
As compared to Chapel Hill or Cary or Raleigh.
和这个 Chapel Hill 和 Raleigh 相比啊。
So it's important to research to know what's being taught to your children.
所以你自己要去做调查，自己去考察啊，你的学生，你的小孩子学到什么。
Which is one of the reasons why you see even Americans moving to different locations based off what their schools are teaching.
所以你会发现，哎，美国家庭经常是因为小孩教育的问题，希望让小孩子学到什么，不要学什么东西而搬家。
Students are assessed and standardized. Are assessed with standardized tests.
那么学生会通过这种标准化的测试来进行评估。
To ensure that information like math, science, reading,
数学、科学啊、阅读啊
and other similar subjects are learned and that the curriculum standards are being met.
包括其他类似的课程。
However, even then, there's still a lot of variance in how those topics are taught.
当然了，这些具体的课程怎么被教导是有不同的方式的。
For example, one school may have a literature curriculum that has students read one set of books, whereas another school may have a curriculum that uses another set of books, and you may not agree with the content of some of those books, so you have to ask.
就是说不同的学校，他可能比方说你教授文学的课程，他读的书可能都不一样，所以你自己要去问。
So that's another aspect of American culture. You, not just your students, are also allowed and in some ways expected to ask teachers what they're teaching your children.
所以父母其实在美国是被期待你自己去问老师他们教到什么。
That's a great way for you to be involved in the education process is simply to ask.
这是你参与到教育体系当中一个重要的一环，就是你自己去问。
And with respect, sometimes teachers also accept ideas from parents.To implement in the classroom.
当然，这个老师有的时候也会吸取这个家长的建议，然后在教室当中执行。
So that's just one thing to consider as it relates to curriculum.
所以这是我们要思想的关于课程的一个问题。
Then you may be wondering, different schools seem to have different amounts of resources in the United States financially.
所以你要知道，不同的学校它都有不同的这个经济来源。
And that has to do with how American schools in the public school system are funded.
这会关于到美国，特别是公立学校，它是如何筹集资金的。
Public schools are funded through state and local taxes.
那么他是通过州和当地的这个纳税人的钱啊，收税啊，然后来进行
different
补充。
Sorry, different states and different localities handle these taxes differently, but they follow the similar principle of funding it from the taxes of the region.
具体的细节当然有所不同，那总的来说都是用这些税收来补助这些公立学校。
But here's what happens as a result of that.
那么结果就是什么呢？
As a result, poorer counties typically have fewer resources than wealthier counties.
问题就在于，就是说，你如果是个学区比较穷的话，就是普遍老百姓收入比较低的话，那你学校的资源肯定是不如富区的。
For example, the population of Durham County has historically been poorer than Orange, Chatham, and Wake.
那么 Durham County 呢 ，Durham 县呢，就比这边我们的城县 Chatham 县就相对来说要穷一点。
As a result, the schools in Durham are typically underfunded per student.
所以每个学生他其实拿到了这个经济上的补充其实就少很多。
Especially as compared to wealthier counties like Orange in Chapel Hill.
特别是和 Chapel Hill 和 Orange 去比啊，和 Wake County 去比啊，就差一些。
Now, of course, there's been a lot of development in Durham, like all of the development downtown, which is bringing in more tax revenue to the county.
那么 Durham 最近的确是吸引了更多的税收。
But it takes a long time for those dollars.To get put back into the education system.
但是呢，这笔钱要想流入到教育系统，它又得经过很长的时间。
Another sad side effect of this is
另外一个副作用就是
is teachers are often not paid well in the public school system.
就是老师在公立学校他们的收入并不是很好。
Which is very sad, but what happens is you have high turnover.
你有不停的这种轮换。
Or you have people that over time get what we call burned out. They get tired of teaching.
太累了就 burn out. 我们也叫 burn out.
So the lower...
We call it burn out, right? 应该怎么办？我们说 pastor 不要 burn out.
Yeah, yeah. The lower wages over time contributes to lower morale.
因为你老师拿的低嘛，所以他的这个士气、精气神就提不起来。
Which sadly means teachers often grow tired and less invested in their classroom.
所以老师就会很累，他没有办法全力全情的在学校投入。
Also, where money is scarce, classroom sizes are typically bigger. Where money is less, classroom sizes are bigger.
那就经费越小，当然那个课堂人数就越多。
So that means that there is disparity depend on the amount of attention that a teacher can give to an individual student.
所以老师给每个学生关注度当然也就不一样。
Some classrooms, it's 1 to 10.
有些教室可能一个老师对十个学生。
Other classrooms, it may be 1 to 30.
那有些教室可能是1:30的比例。
So obviously, in a classroom with more students, they're going to get less individual attention.
那么当然，你学生越多，你得到老师关注，平均下来就越低。
This is a big challenge in the public school system and one that we have not solved.
这已经成为公立学校面对的一个比较巨大挑战，而且很难解决。
But that's why asking good questions is so helpful. You don't want to assume that every school is equal.
所以这边我们首先要知道一件事，就是每个学校是不一样的。
As a way to help parents with this, most often schools will have something called an open house.
那经常学校也会欢迎老师parents 就是父母去参观。
Have you been to an open house for your children?
你们有没有去过？
That's a great opportunity to ask questions to the teacher.
这是很好的机会，你可以问老师问题。
To look at the books to see if they're good quality.
去看他们的教科书看有没有什么内容上你是觉得有顾虑的。
And to see what the resources look like in a school.
去看他们学校的整个资源调配怎么样。
Now I'm going to go to how people are divvied up into different schools in a second, but any questions?
那我们在讲不同的人选择学校的这个方法之前，还有什么问题没有？有没有什么问题？包括线上的弟兄姊妹，如果你想说话，你就 unmute。我们可以听得见 ，in case, okay, they are online, yeah.
I forgot to scroll. Can you apologize、
okay.
to them? Sorry, everybody.
That's all right. Where are you? Type stuff. Type stuff. Okay. 就线上的朋友，如果你有任何问题，你随时 unmute， 然后说话就可以了，好吗？
Okay, probably one of the biggest questions you have are related to the types of schools in the United States.
恐怕你目前有的最大的问题就是说你应该怎么样去择校，因为美国有不同的学校种类。
And there's few notes here, but I hope to expand on them a little bit.
那这边有一些简单的一些笔记，但是我会讲的更多一些。
The first category, and the ones I've been speaking most about this evening, are public schools.
那第一个就是公立学校系统，也是我们今天晚上目前是谈的最多的一个。
When we say public, we just mean that they are funded by state and local taxes.
我的意思是，是由这个州和当地的财政支持的学校。
And they are administrated by the government, specifically by local school boards.
他们是由当地的政府，特别是学校委员会去进行运作的。
And this is typically at the county level.
那通常是在县这一级运作。
Students are assigned to these schools largely based off of geographic location of their residence.
学生通常是根据自己的家庭住址被分配到某一个学校。
Sometimes a parent can request a child be transferred to another public school.
有些时候父母可以要求转校。
But that's completely dependent on resource availability.
但就要依据这边他们那个学校能不能有足够的资源。供你去转校。
When new schools are being built, they build them for the population that's there.
当新的学校被建立起来，它是为了更多的这些移民，更多的人口。
So there's not a lot of choice. So to get into a good school, people move.
所以呢，你要去更好学校，那就搬家，很多人。
In order to get into a good public school.
那为了去更好的公立学校。
The next category is what's called a charter school.
那第二个就是特许学校。
These are a little bit unique.
这个特许学校是有些特别的啊。
They're strange in that they are funded by state and local taxes.
他们也是由州和当地的财政支持的。
But they are privately administrated.
但是它是由私人来管理的。
These schools, as a result, are freed from certain legal regulations.
他们可以不用承担一些法律的规定。
But are still held accountable for achieving academic results.
但是他们依然要为学生的这个学术成就来负责。
This is where they get the name charter from.
这就是他们名字特许的由来。
They get this name because they're formed through a charter or a contractual agreement with the state.
他们通过和州政府达成某一项的协议，然后建立这样的学校。
These schools are also unique in that students apply to be a part of them.
这个。学校就是另外一个特别之处，就是学生要自己申请。
And so they can be accepted, denied, or waitlisted.
你可以被接受，你可以被拒绝，你可以被放到那个等待名单上。
These schools, charter schools, on the whole, typically have a higher academic success rate.
那么通常的这种特许学校，他们学生成绩是更好一些。
Because they're freed from certain legal regulations and because they're able to privately administrate, they can respond to the needs of the students more quickly.
他们可以更快的去满足学生的需要，因为他们可以稍微在法律法规上可以自由一些，而且是由私人进行运作。
Because they also exist in a way for profit, they can also have more resources allocated for teachers.
然后呢，因为他们的经费更充足一些嘛，然后所以他们的老师学生比例更低。
Not every charter school is the same, so you still have to research them.
当然不是每一个特许学校都是一样的，你还是要自己一个个去看。
But on the whole, in this area especially, charter schools are usually a step higher than public school.
那么但是总体水平上是特许学校稍微比公立学校学术上要好的。
The next category is what's called private schools.
然后就是私立学校。
These schools are funded through the tuition dollars given by the families.
那这些学校他们的资金来源主要就是学生的学费。
They are also managed privately.
他们也是由私人进行管理的。
Private schools are held to academic standards.
他们要达到一定的学术标准。
But they have much more freedom in their curriculum and academic choice.
但是在他们的课程选择上，他们有非常大的自由度。
So as a result, there's a lot of diversity in the private school system.
所以你会看到在美国的私立学校系统中有特别多的不同的学校。
And because of that, Americans can take their pick.
Can take what?
They can pick.
所以美国人可以去选择了，你有很多的选择。
The downside is you have to pay for it.
当然，负面就是说你自己得掏钱。
Often private schools are very expensive.
那通常呢，私立学校会很贵。
Anywhere from $7,000 to $30,000 a year.
从7000到$30,000一年不等。
A whole range of options.
当然你可以有很多的选择。
Of particular interest to many of you is that there are many Christian private schools.
对于我们当中来说，可能你要知道有很多的基督徒的私立学校。
For example, there are some church-based private schools.
比方说有一些是以教会为基础的学校。
There are some
to open that.
Yeah, we'd like to open that. There are churches that can offer a maybe lower tuition but still have good quality because the church supplements the tuition.
那么教会呢？通常教会学校就是说学费会低一点，但是又给你很好的教育，因为教会的弟兄姊妹的奉献可以去。Cover 一部分的这个费用。
The downside is churches are often limited in their size and ability to grow.
那缺点呢，就是说，通常教会的学校呢，就是说规模不会很大，因为它的整个的场地也限制它的发展。
It's not as easy to just build another room.
不容易再建一个新的教室。
But private schools in general are typically at the top end of educational quality.
那么在这个教学质量上，通常私立学校的确是置顶的。
But not always.
但不总是。
Because the way you define quality is dependent upon the type of information you want your student to learn.
因为我们所谓的质量也要看你到底希望你的小孩子学什么东西，你才好定义质量。
So it's important to again ask questions. What's being taught at your school? Because if you don't like it, even if it's expensive, and maybe even has a good success rate for university, you still may not want to send your student.
所以你还是要去知道你的小孩在的私立学校他在教什么，对吧？有可能他所教的内容你并不很喜欢，即便你的小孩子可以上很好的大学。
Now the last category is probably the one I get the most questions about.
那最后一个呢？其实我被问了很多的问题，就是 OK。
And that's homeschools.
那就是家庭教育。
Now, homeschools, you may think, what does that mean?
也许特别是非基督徒，你会觉得啊，那个是什么东西？
All it means is that it's a school that's established in a home.
这就是说，就是在家庭里面建立的学校。
Most commonly with one of the parents serving as the primary educator.
那通常呢，就是父母当中有一位，你就是这个主要的老师了，班主任了。
As a result, the curriculum is chosen by parents.
所以呢，你的课程当然是由父母来选择。
State testing and recording requirements still have to be met.
那么州的一些要求，还有一些你要做一些记录的，你小孩学了什么东西，还是要这个交上去的。
And many homeschool families partner together in things called co-ops.
那么通常不同的这些家庭，他们有的时候也会组成一个共学团体。
These co-ops are cooperative agreements to collectively educate children together.
他们达成了一致，就是说我们要一起来教导我们的小孩子。
This option is actually the option that me and my wife use for our children.
那目前也是我和我太太我们选择的方式。
So my wife stays home and educates our children.
所以我的太太是在家里面是教导自己的小孩子。
And I work.
我工作。
And we have found great success with this already.
我们也取得了一定程度的成功。
However, we don't do it alone.
可是呢，我们不是单单我们自己一家在做这事。
We partner with other Christian parents from around Durham.
我们和 Durham 当地其他的很多基督徒的家庭，我们一起教育。
So that my children have an opportunity to interact with other children and participate in other activities.
所以我的小孩子和其他的基督徒家庭的小孩子，他们当时有互动，他们可以一起做一些事情。
As an example of this, my wife was homeschooled from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade.
所以我的太太是从这个幼儿园一直是 homeschool 家庭教育，一直到十二年级。
And she went to NC State University.
她在那个北卡州立念书。
And then ironically got a degree in public school education.
我是在公立学校毕业的。
It was actually middle school science education. That was her degree.
Okay, I didn't know. Middle school has a degree.
We have two. She has a degree in middle school science education.
就是你太太。
Yeah, my wife.
Yeah.
So she was trained to help teach, but now she teaches at home.
她被训练该怎么教小孩子，然后她现在自己在家教。
She also helps to tutor other children.
当然，她有的时候也教其他小朋友。
Now, one advantage of this, obviously, is you as
优点。
Is you as a parent get to essentially control everything.
你可以好处就在于你可以掌控一切。
And another benefit is your child can accelerate as quickly as they want.
你的小孩子另外一个优点就是说，你的小孩子如果确实很聪明、很优秀，你可以按着你的步调给他加速。
Because if you're in the public charter or private school, in some way you're still able to only go as fast as all your peers.
那么通常你如果当时在其他的学校体系，不管是私立的或者特许的或者公立的，你还是得跟着学校的这个进度走。
So if your child is really excelling at math, you can more quickly teach them the next topic.
所以如果你是在家教育的话，你的小孩子数学很好，那么你数学就可以教得快。
I'm going to give you an example, but I don't want it to sound prideful.
啊，我会给你一个例子，但是我不希望听上去很骄傲。
We found that my daughter really enjoyed reading.
我发现我的女儿很擅长阅读。
And she learned to read at a very young age.
那么她很年轻，很小的时候就阅读得很好。
So my mother, her mom, my wife, realized that a huge part of her education is teaching her to read so that she can teach herself.
所以呢，我们就希望帮助他能够他自己可以读。
She recently took a standardized test.
那么他最近是进行了一个标准化的测试。
And she's 8 years old.
她八岁。
But she has a 10th grade reading level.
但是她有十年级的这个读书的这个水平。
Her spelling was the equivalent of a college student.
那么她的这个拼写是大学水平。
That's just an example.
这只是一个例子。
So I want you to be aware, you may think homeschooling your child means that they will be behind.
那我只是希望大家不要有个错觉，好像在家教育你的小孩子一定会落后。
But the irony is, often homeschool children who are well-resourced are ahead of their peers.
但是讽刺的是有不少这个家庭教育小朋友他在学术上其实超前。
Here's another advantage of homeschooling.
这是另外一个这个家庭教育的优点。
You can often partner with local universities to take college classes, and
你可以和当地的大学进行合作，你可以上一些大学的课。
Which you can also do in some of these other choices.
你也可以进行一些其他的选择。
But because you have more time, you can take more classes together.
但是因为你有更多的时间，你们可以和其他的家庭一起参与更多的课程。
Because you're in charge of your schedule.
因为你是做主的，你可以在你的这个学生的这个课程上做主。
So it's very common for homeschool children to graduate high school with many hours of college credit completed.
所以这些家庭教育小朋友他毕业的时候，他可能那个时候已经有了一些大学的一些学分。
So that's just an example of some of the benefits of homeschooling.
这只是我谈到一些你在家教育的一些益处。
But academic success is actually not the chief reason why we chose to homeschool. And I'll get to that in a second.
家庭教育不是我们选择家庭教育的最主要的原因。
But I'd like to stop here to ask if you have any questions about any of these, but specifically homeschooling.
那么最主要的，不是，关于这一点，大家还有没有什么问题？
You can ask about my personal experience or just generally. Yes.
就用中文了
啊，
对，各位。
那个，我想问一下，这次
就不翻译了。
现在就是小学生的大概的比例，就比如说公立学校大概就是80%，就是这四个学校大概，比如说以小学为说的话，
啊，
大概的比例。
I'm tired.
Okay. As for the population, all the students in elementary school, what is the percentage for different types of schools, like public, charter, private, and homeschool? Is it a percentage?
I don't know the numbers genuinely, but I would say that
我不太清楚具体的数目。
The most populous are public school.
绝大部分是公立。
80%, 85%?
大概80-85%。
At least.
I would say maybe homeschool, the percentage has increased
lately. Yes.
Because of all the agenda
Yes.
So that number probably has changed in the last few years.
Yes.
Still public school in certain county or area is still most popular.
Yeah, absolutely. What she was saying is true. Early on, like maybe 25 years ago, very few people homeschooled.
因为在25年前很少人了。
But that amount, especially after COVID, has
但这个数量在 COVID 之后再增加
increased a lot.
增加
Because everybody homeschooled during COVID.
因为在 COVID 的期间很多的家庭开始你也不得不放在家里面对吧
But I think besides COVID,
Yes.
Yes.
Becoming so upfront.
Yes.
Has also had some impact.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm going to get to that with a Christian perspective too, as to why. Moving into the next category.
我们讲下一句。
Charter would probably be charter and private are probably the same in terms of the next percentage, maybe 3-5.
也许这个特许学校和私立学校都差不多，大概3%到5%的比例。
And then homeschool would be the fewest.
通常家庭教育是最少的。
But growing.
但是会增加。
And of course, it also depends on region.
当然也要分区域。
There are certain areas of the country where there are just more resources.
有些我们知道有美国有些地区它有更多的资源。
And that's another huge aspect of homeschooling that's grown over the years is the amount of resources.
那么这也是 homeschool 成长的一个重要的原因，因为有些地区它的资源很丰富。
Here's an example of some of the flexibility of homeschooling.
那么这边我们会讲到 homeschool 的它的自由度。
One of the things that my wife and I appreciate is thinking about how children learn and choosing an education system, a pedagogy,that matches that.
那么我们会观察我的小孩子他学习的方式是什么，我们会挑选一个适合他的这个教育的系统。
Sadly, in my view, many American schools teach information backwards.
那么从我的角度上来说，那美国的教育的话，它有些时候教育方式是反的，就是 it does not match your children's talents.
Yeah, exactly. Let me give you an example of my own.
我来以我自己为一个例子。
I...went my entire academic career in high school learning English and a little bit of French.
那么我在我整个的高中时期我学了很多的English?
Yeah, just English.
Okay, 学了很多的英文，学了一点法语。
But then when I wanted to learn Chinese, I was an adult.
然后呢，我要学，想学中文的时候，我已经成年了。
It was much harder.
这就太难了。
It still was hard. And that's because, linguistically, our brains stop receiving new language information at around puberty.
因为从这个青少年开始，我们这个学习语言的能力开始下降了。
You can still learn, it's just harder.
你还可以学，但就已经难了。
So I wonder, why don't we teach language when we're children, where we can learn it immersively?
为什么我们不在他们很小的时候教他们语言？
You probably see this with... What was that?
Please mute.
Oh, okay.
请注意一下，关音。
So another example is how children can memorize facts.
那另外一个就是小孩子怎么样去记住一些事实。
It's amazing at a young age, children can memorize almost anything.
在小朋友很小的时候，他们可以记住很多东西，几乎所有事情。
It may not be that they can understand it, but they can at least memorize it.
也许他们不明白，但是他们能够记得。
And so.Certain approaches to education will differ from the public school system and try to match what children are actually able to do.
所以呢，一些 public school 他们没有办法去完全匹配学生的当时的能力。
For example, the homeschool curriculum that we have chosen is something called classical conversations.
比方说，我们家选择的这个 homeschool 是经典的这个对话。
It's a classical style.
古典教育，古典对话。
All that means is they focus on memorization when they're younger.
是在很小的时候要背东西。
And then they move to application and understanding when they're a little older.
然后他们在到大一点的时候就要学会理解和应用。
Then they move to use and persuasion at their oldest level.
然后呢，在成长的时候，他们就要学会运用自己的知识去说服人。
And this matches how children naturally grow.
这是小朋友他其实自然生长的一种方式。
So for example, my children every day memorize history in a timeline.
所以比方说我的小孩子他们每一天他们要按照这个历史的时间点去背一些东西。
They don't understand all of the wars and things that they're memorizing.
他们不会记得所有的事情。
But what you're building is a framework.
但是你在记忆的是一些框架。
So that as they grow, they then understand where to put that information.
那长大之后，他就会比方读到一些具体的历史事件，他就知道把这个历史事件放在哪个时间的这个点上。
When I was in school, we learned about American history, then Asian history, then medieval history, and it was all very segmented.
所以当我们在学校的时候，那个时候我们学，比方说美国历史、中国历史、亚洲历史、欧洲历史，但这些东西全部都是分散的。
Whereas my children are memorizing it all together.
那我的小孩子目前就是说他们是这些所有历史事情混在一起背。
And really they understand history better than I do.
所以呢他对历史的理解就比我多。
They also are memorizing Latin.
他们要记忆拉丁文。
Latin heavily influences many English words.
那么拉丁文对英文有很大的影响。
And so, though they don't fully understand everything they're learning, they know the roots and how they affect meaning.
所以尽管他们不会理解所有的东西，但他们知道一些词根是如何影响一个词的意思的。
So this is just an example of helping them memorize things so that as they get older, it grows.
让大家看到他们是怎么背诵和记忆的。
My children often will ask me questions about Latin or history, and I don't know the answer.
所以我小孩经常有的时候问我一些拉丁文和这个历史的问题，那我不一定能够回答出来。
But they do.
但他们知道。
They'll say, Daddy, why didn't you learn this in school?
我说爸爸，你为什么当时没有学？
Of course, there are other topics like mathematics that follow a pretty structured approach.
当然，他们也会有这个数学有相应的一些。他们不同系统有不同特色。
But even then, we've appreciated the flexibility of being able to craft an approach for each of our children.
我们感谢就是说，我们可以根据不同的小朋友，我们可以调整。
For example, my son likes to see things. He's very tactile.
比方说我的儿子就非常喜欢看，就是看东西，通过看图像来学习。
So we were able to choose a curriculum that teaches mathematics from that perspective.
所以我们比方说教他数学的时候，我们就会从那个角度去。
You would not get that type of flexibility in the public school system.
当然，在公立学校系统，你就不会有这种自由度。
So those are some of the other benefits of being able to craft your own approach.
在家教育的一些优点。
Any questions about that? Homeschooling? That was a good question. Any other questions? Yeah, go ahead.
那么这个 homeschool， 就是说是要，比如说一个家长可能想 homeschool， 但他并没有被这个教过如何去 homeschool， 那么比如说美国政府是否会有一些handbook 去告诉家长，比如说我是一个家长，我想 homeschool， 但是我不会啊，我又不是教，我又不是学教育专业的，然后那怎么办？然后呢，还有就是说，现在 homeschool 的这些家长，他们是因为他们学过教育专业，他们很懂，所以他们决定 homeschool 了，还是说，就是比如说普通一个，比如说我是学工程的，但是我也想 homeschool， 然后呢，我有办法去get how to homeschool， 哎，
是。From his facial expression.
Oh my goodness.
So if I'm I never did that before,、how can I start homeschool? Will anybody help me to do that?、Mm-hmm. And especially if I do not have an education background,、
mm-hmm.
I'm an engineer or some other profession, how can I do homework?
Yeah, absolutely. There are many resources to help parents get started with homeschooling.
那么有很多的资源。
For example, there's a conference every year in North Carolina.
然后在北卡州就有每年都有会议啊。
I was amazed. I walked in just.Mountains of curriculum.
Curriculum. 就无数的这种课程，无数的课程可以给你选。
And many people to assist. As a matter of fact, in our church, most of the families in our church homeschool.
那么在我们这间教会就绝大部分是 homeschool.
And most of them are doctors, nurses, engineers.
所以大部分他们都是医生啊、护士啊和工程师。
And they help each other as part of the co-op.
那么他们在共学团体的时候也会互帮互助。
So if you're interested in learning more, even our church can help you with that.
所以你如果想了解更多，哪怕教会都可以帮助你。
I also want to mention one thing. Homeschools do have to register with the state.
那 homeschool 的确是要在政府注册。
For example, our homeschool is called Harvest Academy.
比方说我们的 homeschool 叫翻译出来有点土，对不对？收获学院，收获学院，丰收学，哎，对，你看，你赶紧上来报，脑子不转了。丰收学院。
I think they should be translating.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. It's based off one of my favorite Bible verses, Galatians 6:9, which says,
从加太书六章九节来。
Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you do not give up.
到了时候你就必然收成。
Harvesting is a major theme in the Bible.
丰收是一个重要的主题，那还是收获，收成。
Which leads me to the last category, and then hopefully I'll leave a few minutes for questions at the end.
我要进入到下一点，然后我们留一些问题。
So the last is, how should Christians think about education from a biblical perspective? Well, as a believer in Jesus Christ, the gospel is the foundation of everything we do.
作为基督徒，当然了，我们所信仰的福音是我们所做的一切事情的基础。
And by the gospel, I mean the good news that while we are sinners, God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, into the world, who lived a perfect life, but then died a sin-atoning death on the cross in our place. and that was raised victoriously from the dead, so that any who turn away from sin and trust in him will receive forgiveness and eternal life.
那福音最基本的信息就是当我们还是罪人的时候，神就差派了他自己独生的爱子来到这个地上，然后担当我们的罪，替我们死在十字架上，然后第三天复活，替我们战胜了罪，战胜了罪的后果，战胜了死亡。所以我们今天凡是信靠耶稣的人，凡是认罪悔改的人，我们都得以得救。
One of my favorite Bible verses about just the simplicity but beauty of the gospel is 1 Corinthians 5:21.
哥林多前书五章三十一节，五章二十一节，神使那无罪的替我们成为罪，好叫我们在他里面成为神的义。
God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
耶稣基督替我们成为罪，然后我们拥有耶稣基督的公义了。
The reason why I start with this is because this is the foundation of every decision I make.
因为这个福音是我们做决定的所有决定的基础。
Because if the greatest problem my children has is their sin,
如果我的小朋友最大的问题是他的罪,
the solution is not education,
那么解决的问题最重要的还不是教育问题,
or any other worldly pursuit.
或者是其他的世俗的方式。
The solution has to be spiritual.
解决方式必须是属灵的, 从神而来的。
So for me as a parent, the most in my definition of success is spiritual formation in my children.
所以对于我来说，我定义成功就是他们属灵生命的属灵品格的一个塑造。
To phrase it another way,
换句话说,
if my child was the richest engineer in the world but did not have Christ,
如果我的小孩子是世界上最有钱的工程师，但是他不信耶稣基督,
I would be sad.
那我会很伤心。
If my child was the lowest janitor but was a believer in Jesus,
如果我的小孩子是这个好像社会阶层是最低的，但是他是信耶稣的,
I would be happy.
那我会开心的。
Of course, that doesn't mean we should be lazy.
当然，这不意味着我们应该懒惰。
That also doesn't mean that I don't want them to use their gifts to glorify God and to provide for themselves.
但是我说我们希望他们用他们的这些恩赐去荣耀神，然后可以养活他们自己。
I just use that example to say that the most important thing for me is what happens to them on Judgment Day, not what happens to them on earth.
那最重要的是他们怎么样去面对审判日那一天，而不是他们在今天在地上的生活有多么的富足。
Because every earthly pursuit will pass away.
因为今天我们在世上得到一切好处，最终都会有一天不在的。
But your soul and your relationship with God, if you have one, remains forever.
但是你的灵魂和你和神的关系，这个东西是关乎到永恒的。
So that frames everything.
所以这个东西是我们做一切事情的一个最主要的一个架构。
Which lead to a few realities to be mindful of.
所以有一些我们要记得。
In the Bible,
在圣经当中,
parents are charged with the formation of their children.
那么父母被赋予的责任，你要去塑造你小孩子的属灵的生命和品格。
For example, Deuteronomy 6:7 says, you shall teach them.
你要殷勤地教导你的儿女,
yeah, diligently to your children. And the them is talking about the law.
然后呢，他就是讲到律法了。
It says, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house,
你无论坐在家里面,
and when you walk by the way,
无论走在路上,
and when you lie down,
当你躺下来,
and when you rise. Essentially, you as a parent are the one that your child is looking to learn everything. And that's by design. Or, as it says in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. There we see very plainly that parents are charged with training and teaching their children, specifically in the Lord. Or as it says in the book of Proverbs
22:6,
train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now that doesn't mean that if you just teach them right, that they 100% of the time will be perfect.
当然这不意味着你殷勤教导他，他一定不会走偏吗？
It just points to the reality that your children learn and copy you.
只是要告诉你，通常小孩子还是会效法你的。我们请线上弟兄姊妹，如果您不是提问的话，请静个音好吗？因为我们会听到你的声音。Ask them to mute. Yeah.
So we see that it's parents that really are charged in God's design with shepherding their children. However, also Satan, the world, and the flesh stand opposed to God. We see in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are from God, but the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Or as it says in Ephesians 6, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But against the rulers and authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. As a result of these realities, education is not neutral. Education has a moral dimension.
I'll
put it this way. If you care about your children, and you want the best for them, Satan equally hates your children, and wants the worst for them. Do you think that Satan would be concerned with wanting to affect the education system to lead children astray? Of course he would. So we have to be mindful that when we send our children wherever the education model is, that Satan is there to try to lead them astray. Because Satan hates everything related to godliness. So we as parents have to be on guard. Now, I have to be careful. I do not mean to say that homeschooling or private schooling or any method is always the right answer.
我注意，我这边绝对不是说，无论是在家教育，还是私立教育，还是其他的方式，是唯一的正确的方式。
All I'm saying is that the spiritual realities around us demand our attention and involvement.
我的意思是说，我们一定要注意到我们肉眼看不见的，就环绕我们周围的属灵的真相，然后我们要给予正确的回应。And
information is critical. Education is critical to helping our children understand how to grow and be formed themselves. Education is critical to help our children to grow and be formed themselves. For example, we see in the great commandments given by Jesus, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Or in Romans 12, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may discern by testing what is the good and perfect will of God. So there's a connection between what you know and what you love. So whether it's public school or private school or homeschool, your goal as a parent, a Christian parent, should be to help your children to see how it relates to God.
所以无论是公立学校、私立学校还是家庭教育，你作为父母想的就是说，你的小孩怎么样更好的爱主。
To help them understand how they're under attack and what is right from wrong.
然后你要帮助他们知道，或者说你要知道他们会如何受到撒旦的攻击，你如何帮助他们分辨对错。
Another reality, the goal of education, therefore, is not worldly success, but glorifying God.
所以教育的最终的目的，它不是按照世人的标准，它是成功的，而是说它是荣耀神的。
Now, of course, if children use their gifts to glorify God, hopefully they'll find a skill or a job that aligns with their God-given gifts.
那么通常呢，你如果小孩子真的是运用好神给你的恩赐和天赋的时候，你用来荣耀神，你通常也会找到一份很好的工作，你也会培养出很好的技能，可以养活自己。
But we don't want to instill in our children that the primary goal is to make money or to have worldly success.
但是我们不希望我们小孩子觉得你在世上最重要的，你受教育的目的就是成功，就是挣钱。
Because what happens when those things are taken away?
原因就是很重要的原因就是说，如果这些东西你都没有呢？
What happens if they lose that job?
如果你没有工作了呢？你被开除了呢？
What happens if they get sick and can no longer work?
如果你生病了，你不能再工作了呢？
What then?
那怎么办呢?
The only thing they will have will be their relationship with God to sustain them.
那最重要的是你和神的关系是否坚固，可以坚持你走完地上的路程。
So we want to instill in them by example that glorifying God is what's most important.
我就是说父母我们希望让自己的子女看到荣耀神敬拜神是我们生命当中最重要的事情。
And in response to God, we want them to work heartily for him.
然后呢我们希望他们尽力的去荣耀神努力的工作。
As a result, spiritual formation is more important than academic formation alone.
所以呢他们属灵性格的培养当然是比学术成就更加重要。
A reminder of this is 2 Corinthians 5 where it says all will appear before Jesus' judgment seat.
所以哥林多后书这边第五章讲到说一切都会在基督台前显露出来。
That means your child will stand before God on judgment day.
你的小孩子在审判那一天会一个一个的站在耶稣基督的审判台前。
Their degree and their job won't matter.
他们的学历他们的工作不是重要的。
The only thing that will matter will be if they trusted in Christ.
唯一重要的是他们是否信靠耶稣基督。
It's the same reality for us.
这对于我们来说也是一样的。
And so, it's not to say that we want to be lazy or not try hard. It's just where is your priority?
这边还不是讲到说啊，你要懒惰，你要殷勤，关重要的是什么东西是首要的，最重要的。
And we know that every gift and ability is from God, so our focus should be the gifts that God's given our children as an expression of worship.
因为我们知道我们的天赋能力都是从神而来的，所以我们要使用好这个东西作为荣耀神的一个重要的手段。
Let me give you a quick example.
我给大家一个简短的例子。
My daughter is very gifted at the piano.
我的女儿非常。擅长弹钢琴。
From an early age, she can play anything she hears.
很小的时候，她就可以弹出来任何她听到的乐曲。
Without any practice.
她不需要练习的。
Of course, she's learning now, so she can get skills.
当然，她现在在学习，因为她要掌握一些弹琴的技巧。
But I told my daughter, God gave you this gift.
但是我告诉我的女儿，神给你这样的天赋。
Don't use it to bring attention to you. Use it to bring attention to Him.
不要用这个让注意力关注到你的身上，而是让人把注意力关注到神的身上。
And use it to serve others.
用这个去服务其他的人。
If she's able to make money by playing piano, and,
如果她可以通过弹钢琴挣钱
，then praise God.
感谢主，挺好的。
But if she uses her gift to just play at a church as a volunteer for the rest of her life, praise God.
如果她能够用这个弹钢琴的恩赐一辈子，完全是这个义务的在教会当中敬拜赞美神，非常好。
That choice is God's choice, not mine.
这是神的选择，这不是我的选择。
My job is to teach her how to love and honor Him.
我的责任是。告诉他，引导他怎么样更好的敬重我们的神，爱我们的神。
In closing, let me put it all together.
结束的时候，我把这一切做个总结。
With four questions.
用四个问题。
No matter which type of education you choose,
无论你选择哪个学校系统
，How are you taking responsibility for your children's education?
你如何承担起教导你的小孩子的责任？
Second one, how are you helping your child glorify God in their education?
你如何帮助你的小孩子通过你的教育去荣耀神
？Or to put another way, is God at the center of their worldview?
神是不是他们世界观的中心
？How are you investing in your child's spiritual development alongside their educational development?
你是如何在小孩子的属灵的性格的塑造上进行投入的，在你教育的过程当中。
Are they seeing their God-given gifts primarily for God's glory or for their own?
他们有没有看到自己的恩赐主要是用来荣耀神的，还是用来彰显自己的
？And then, in view of all of what we've discussed,
那么根据我们所讨论的这一切
，How would you describe the goal of your child's education?
你觉得你教导小孩子的最大的目的是什么
？And what steps will achieve that goal?
那么我要达到这个目的，我应该怎么做
？And how will this goal affect your priorities?
那么这个目标会怎么样影响你不安排优先
？And where you invest your resources?
你如何去分配你的资源
？I'm sorry, I've been talking a long time.
To me or to them?
To them.
Okay.